What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, let me start by wishing you all a very happy Thanksgiving. I hope that all of you are able to be with your loved ones today and enjoy some family time and some good food. Sleeper for the Thanksgiving dinner, I'm going with ham. I know turkey gets all the love, but I'm going ham with my sleeper on Thanksgiving dinner. But happy to be back with you guys today. Happy to be able to break down this game against the Broncos this weekend for you guys. And that's what we're going to get into today. We're going to get into our keys for success. We don't really have any news today, so we're going to start with we're going to do a normal show talking about our keys for success defensively, then offensively. And then we're going to wrap the show up with a couple of voicemails and get into our game predictions and our bold predictions for Sunday's game against the Broncos. Let's go ahead and get into it, guys. Let's start it off with the Chargers' keys for success defensively against the Broncos. One thing I like about doing this segment, especially the second go-around for these division rivals, is we already got to see what the Chargers struggled with against the Broncos earlier this season, where they lost 20-13, just another game that the Chargers should never have lost. But they did get off to a 17-0 deficit. So for me, David, I'm starting with the defensive side of the ball, and I'm starting with the Chargers getting off to a better start defensively. The last time they played, the Broncos came out with a very long drive for a touchdown on the first drive, and then the second drive of the game, they have the broken play to Courtland Sutton where Rayshon Jenkins misses a tackle, and Courtland Sutton goes 70-plus yards for a touchdown. It ends up being 17 points in total, but this Chargers defense cannot have another start like that, especially against a Broncos offense that is more than likely going to be Drew Lock at quarterback. If not, then it's Allen at quarterback, and neither one of those guys should scare you at this point. But it has to be a better start, a smothering start for this Chargers defense against a very limited Denver Broncos offense.
I mean, that's what lost them the game, right? I mean, they got behind early. I mean, after two really shocking plays, and then before you know it, you're trying to dig yourself out of a hole. The Chargers cannot put themselves in a hole in this game. I mean, you're giving an offense that's already kind of struggling to move the ball down the field, you know, an advantage when you absolutely, you know, you can't do that if you're expecting to win a game. For me, on defense, you've got to look for the run. I mean, the Broncos, obviously, like you mentioned, we know who's going to play quarterback. Whether we don't know who's going to play quarterback, but whoever does play quarterback, you're not really scared about what they can do with the arm. I mean, they've, you know, Drew Lock, we don't know anything about, and Brandon Allen's been pretty bad. So we know they're going to run the football. So sell out to stop the run. You know that they're going to feature Phillip Lindsay. You know that's how they want to move the ball down the field. So do everything you can to stop that.
And for the Chargers, who have been better against the run in recent weeks, that's always going to be a key for them. But one thing I do want to have them focus on this week, if I'm the coaching staff, is not giving up those easy plays, especially on first down. Going into this game, the Broncos know that you're going to sell out against the run. In the first game, Phillip Lindsay goes 15 carries for 114 yards, averages 7.6 yards per carry, gets a touchdown, and also has a back-breaking run at the end of the game that really put the Chargers in a pretty tough situation at the end of the game. But whatever quarterback it is, neither one of them should scare you. But at the same time, you think back to a Jeff Driskel who just had a terrible performance for the Lions, putting in a pretty good game against you, or a CJ Beathard who is competitive against you. So you definitely can't make it easy for them. And that's what the Broncos did the first time around. I mean, letting Joe Flacco go 14 of 20 for 182 yards and a touchdown. He also has an interception, but letting him complete 70% of his passes, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, John. If you let them complete those passes and have, you know, one of them turn into a 70-yard catch and run touchdown, it doesn't really matter who's back there throwing the ball.
It doesn't. Even if you get pass rush on them and they're able to somehow get the ball out like at the last second, and a receiver has it in their hands and you miss those tackles, that receiver is now the weapon. It don't matter what quarterback it is. It don't matter if it's a running back or a wide receiver throwing the ball. It's what happens after the catch that I think will impact the Chargers in this game. So tackling's got to be a top priority, even with Phillip Lindsay. Phillip Lindsay breaks tackles on us, or we miss him in the gap because we try to arm tackle and we miss. And then that 2 yard run's now a 12 yard run. But in the passing game, if you have a quarterback who's probably not going to be that dangerous, like Drew Lock or Brandon Allen, and you can't tackle the guy that's catching the ball, even on a screen route. A screen route is probably a quarterback's best friend because you get all the stats and all the glory. And all you had to do is hike the ball, and then 1 second later, dump it off and let the running back do all the work and let the lineman do all the work. If you can't tackle, you're not going to win the game. And just for a little reference here, if Drew Lock happens to be the starter in college, he posted a 130 passer rating at least every year his last 3 years in college, including going 44 touchdowns and 13 interceptions with 28 touchdowns and 8 interceptions his last 2 years. So he can throw the ball. He can complete passes. Is he going to be a Tom Brady? Probably not. But is he still going to get the ball in someone's hands to make those moves? Probably.
Could he be better than Duck Hodges? Maybe. I mean, that's who has already beat you this season. I mean, it doesn't really matter. And that's what scares me for this game is the Chargers thinking they have it in the bag potentially just because of who's strapping it up back there for the Broncos. But the Chargers defense really has to key in on the play action, especially on those early drives, because like I said, they know you're going to try to sell against the run. Too many easy play action passes and first down passes for 8 or 9 yards are completed against this Chargers defense. But when you're talking about the last game and Cortland Sutton breaking that giant catch and run for a touchdown, that's what you're talking about, John. I mean, a pretty simple throw, then one missed tackle, and it turns into not just a big play, but a giant play and a backbreaking play that puts you down 14-0. And another play that had me thinking about that, you talking about that, is the game against the Steelers with Duck Hodges, where you get immediate pressure from the Chargers defensive line. It wasn't even a screen pass, but he dumps it off to James Conner. He breaks a few tackles, makes a few guys miss, and next thing you know, it's a 15-yard gain on a play that could have been a sack or at the very least an incompletion. So you absolutely can't have that in this game. And David, for me, one of the keys for success is how are the Chargers going to try to cover up the fact that Brandon Faison is out there? Maybe he's not. I mean, maybe they try someone else out there. But whoever is filling in for Michael Davis, you know that that's going to be a target for this Broncos offense. Whether they're going to exploit it or not is yet to be determined. But we know Michael Davis isn't out there. And when you see that and you're the opposing offense, of course you're going to try to target that.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think a way to try to make it a little bit easier on whoever is playing corner opposite Casey Hayward is to send the blitz. I want to see the Chargers blitz a whole lot more in this game. I want to make the opposing quarterback as uncomfortable as possible every single time he drops back. I'm talking like the NASCAR package. I want to see Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Nwosu. I want to see the corner blitzes from Dez King. If Derwin James is out there, I want to send him. Obviously, we know how good of a blitzer he is. I just want the blitz to come from all different avenues, all different areas. I want the quarterback to be very frustrated, and I want him to be seeing and feeling ghosts by the end of this game.
You're going to have to adjust during this game, too, if you're going to be sending all-out NASCAR-type blitzes, because at some point they're going to figure out where Drew Lock likes to throw the ball, and you're going to have to put a zone coverage somewhere in that area and make him second-guess his throw, and that's where the sack will happen. That's what teams do to Phillip Rivers, is they figure out where he likes to throw the ball when they send that all-out blitz up the middle, and that's where Rivers starts to mess up and get sacked. You got to do the same thing here. If you don't make that second-half adjustment, he's just going to keep beating you when you blitz.
Yeah, and that reminds me of a Kiko Alonso play a few years back in pick six when the Chargers are trying to come back at the end of the game. And we're going to talk about that actually on a voicemail question. But Phillip Rivers does stare down his receivers, especially if he's, has pressure. But if you can get him rattled, whoever the quarterback is, that's always going to lead to success for your defense, because that leads to, maybe some passes tipped up in the air. Maybe the Chargers can bat a couple balls down at the line of scrimmage, which they're really not good at all. But I think that the Chargers, they should have success defensively in this game. But for me, you're a better side defensively than you were when these two teams matched up. And right now, we don't know if Derwin James is going to play. But if Derwin James is out there, I mean, obviously, you're head and shoulders above where you were matched up in week 5. But he also helps a lot with the tackling. And with the tackling, the Chargers defense is going to go as far as they're tackling. I mean, we've seen them stop teams before the first down mark so many times and miss a couple tackles and it turns into an easy first down. It can't happen with this Chargers team. So hopefully getting healthier helps that a little bit, but that's going to be what the Chargers defense is going to have to do if they want to have success and not let the Broncos even think they have a chance in this game. Because we've seen if this Chargers defense comes out hot and they can get some stops on the first few drives, it's really hard to get going against them, especially if the offense on the other side can get a lead. But this Chargers defense should come out here and absolutely smother this Denver Broncos offense, just like the Bills did. I mean, there's no reason the Chargers shouldn't have a dominant defensive effort against this specific Broncos offense, whoever the quarterback is. But it starts with taking away the easy running plays that get you into third and manageable, second and manageable situations. And it also starts with taking those easy throws away from the Broncos, who are definitely going to try to ease whatever quarterback it is into the game. But we do have to get into the offensive side of the ball, and that's the most important part in this game to me, because this is a defense that Phillip Rivers has historically struggled against. So we're going to get into that right after this, but I have to tell you guys about MyBookie, the only place to put any action on football games. Right now, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You have extra holiday spending money. But if you lose, congratulations as well, because MyBookie will give you all of that money back. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer, MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Right now, we have a special deal still going with MyBookie. All you have to do is go to mybookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll, and that's on top of the risk-free bet that you're already getting. Let me repeat that. That's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for this week only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. I also need to tell you guys about our friends over at Metro Infinity, our favorite car dealership right off the 210 in Monrovia. You have to check out their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They are the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. Oh, and also they're the number one volume dealer in California. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't want to go into the dealership and spend hours there, you can have them bring your car and the paperwork to your home or office, and they can complete the whole transaction there. Also, if you could tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there, you can get an extra $500 off all of their good deals already. And one of our Locked On Chargers listeners has already done that and can attest to that, which is pretty cool, and I'm always going to say that because I think it's so cool. If you're thinking about a new Infiniti or even in the market for any new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. Believe me, you won't regret it. They also have 50 certified pre-owned Infinities as well, and you guys can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. All right, guys. Well, now it's time to get into our second keys for success segment of the show, getting into what we need to see from the Chargers offense to have some success in this game. So I have some things on my chest that I want to get off about what I need to see from the Chargers offense. But John, I'll start with you this week. What do you want to see from the Chargers, or what do you think they have to do this week to finally find a way to figure out this Denver Broncos defense?
I think you're going to have to start taking shots downfield against this team. It sounds kind of weird because of the offensive line we have, but
that's scary.
Yeah, but the thing that I'm starting to realize is I think the reason we're struggling a lot in the red zone is I think we're using a lot of the plays we would use in the red zone just to get to the red zone. We don't have that many deep shot routes throughout the game unless we start getting desperate and you start seeing those heaves to Mike Williams or something. But most of the routes are all within like a 10 to 20 yard range. And we're trying to hit the quick passes to Henry or Allen. We're dumping it off to Eckler. And then when you get to the red zone, like as if you're running the same exact play, but now there's less space to cover. You're not worried about the deep threat. So now those safeties are in more, and now they kind of know what's coming. So if you try to do some more deep shot type plays, we'll also try to establish the run to keep linebackers and safeties honest. I think you should have more red zone success in this game as well. But feed Austin Eckler to get to the red zone and set up these deep shots. Eckler across the middle on passing routes, and Eckler maybe doing some screen plays should open up those deep routes to Hunter Henry, Mike Williams, and you should get a nice flow of an offense from doing that.
Yeah, and one thing that helps with is, I mean, or at least goes along with, is trying to have success in the red zone once you get there and turning that into touchdowns, because the Chargers have been so bad at that this season, and it continually haunts them game after game, and they still can't figure it out. And we have a voicemail specifically about that, so we'll talk about that more later. But one, I mean, Phillip Rivers is what this game is going to come down to. I mean, Phillip Rivers has not had great success against the Broncos, especially recently, including the last game where he averaged only 4 yards per passing attempt in the last game against the Broncos. I mean, one of his worst games of the season, that's saying a lot. I mean, considering his last games, man, but his games against the division this year have been really hard to watch. And the last one, he completes 32 passes for 211 yards, 32 out of 48. That's not very good. That's a lot of short passing. And I think that's what John's kind of getting to when he says you need to kind of take the top off the defense. And one of the reasons that Phillip Rivers has so many interceptions this year is a lot of times he sees the defense and knows, all right, they're going to give me the deep pass, and I could take advantage of it and try to take the top off the defense. And then a lot of the times the ball is getting intercepted. So that's obviously bad. But in 3 games so far against the division this year, Phillip Rivers has 9 interceptions, David. So for the Chargers to win this game, Phillip Rivers cannot have 3 interceptions. Phillip Rivers has to take care of the ball in this game and not get in the way of his own defense and the rest of his offense, because that has killed him against the Broncos.
Yeah, it's murdered him against not only the Broncos, but I mean, for most of this year, and like you mentioned, especially against the AFC West. But I think this is a game where, you know, you need to have more rushing attempts than passing attempts. I think for Phillip Rivers in this game, it's got to be about efficiency. And here's a good stat for you. Per NFL.com, the Chargers are 3-1 when they rush for over 100 yards in a game. So the Broncos, hello, they gave up over 250 rushing yards to the Bills last week. So run the ball, and I mean run it a lot. Like I said, I want to see more running attempts than passing attempts in this game. I think you need to protect Phillip Rivers a little bit in this one. I want to see an efficient Phillip Rivers. I want to see like a 70-75% completion percentage. I don't really care about a lot of yards. I just want to see him protect the football and get out of this one with just a nice, clean game.
Yeah, I mean, all you really ever want from Phillip Rivers is not for him to go out there and try to put the team on his back and try to, you know, will his way to victory. You just want him to be efficient and take care of the ball, and the rest of the team can kind of take it from there. I think the last game was when Austin Ekeler had, 15 catches for 86 yards. I mean, but I'm only averaging 5.7 yards per catch, which is way under his 10.3 average for the season. So they're probably going to try to take that away from you again. You have to be able to find somewhere else to go with it. And running the football is always going to be key for the Chargers. But this was the same key for success as we had last time, John. We knew the Denver Broncos, if they had a weakness as far as their defense goes, it was they couldn't stop the run, but they did a pretty good job of it in the last game. I mean, the Chargers only ran the ball for 35 yards in the Week 5 matchup against the Broncos. So you know, John, that they're going to stay up close to the line of scrimmage. Like you said, you may have to try to take the top off the defense. They're going to try to take away the run, and they're going to try to take away passing the ball to Austin Ekeler for big games. So I know the Chargers know they need to run the ball, but they knew it the first time, and they still weren't able to do it.
Well, as was the case with a lot of other teams as well, too, that we look at and we go, oh, you got to beat them with the run. It's their weakness. And then here we are only getting
the Bears, the Titans,
and then here
the
we
Steelers.
Are
Steelers
70 yards later. And we're like, okay, where's our 150 yards rushing? It was their weakness. Why are we throwing the ball 80 times? So I think if you really want to talk about a weakness, we have a weakness at sticking with what works. We tend to abandon it if it fails twice. If we're running the ball 5 times in a row, like, hey, look at that, 8 yards, 10 yards, 12 yards, and then 2 plays later, it's like, oh, we lost 8. Now we lost 3. Okay, let's stop running the ball. Like, we got to stick with what we know is working. It might fail a couple of times, but that's when you got to take the top off, like with that deep throw, or switch up something, make something that makes a linebacker that's cheating at the line a little bit more honest, because you're hitting him with a quick slant to Keenan Allen, because now he can't start cheating up a little bit. He has to be disciplined, and that's going to give you your running lane. You got to stop being so predictable if you want to make the running game count against a weak running defense. If you want to go up against a weak passing defense, you got to make it not so obvious where you're throwing the ball. And with the Chargers, you got to make your adjustments. Please, for the love of God, for the first time in your career, make adjustments, Anthony Lynn. Figure out what is going on in the first half. Make the adjustment in the second half, and you could take the top off of anybody. You could score 30 points easily if you just made an adjustment.
John, I'm so glad that you set me up for that, because I have the perfect thing to go along with that, and that is what the Chargers have done after halftime offensively so far this season. So if you're wondering, the Chargers have not scored a touchdown on the first drive of a second half since week one against the Colts. That's 10 straight games that they haven't been able to score a touchdown. Four of the times the Chargers have gotten to the red zone, they've only gotten three field goals out of it. And also Austin Ekeler fumbled inside the 1 yard line against the Lions. So that's pretty bad. Here are the other games you're going to want to hear as far as what the Chargers did after halftime. The Texans, 3 plays, negative 8 yards and a punt. The Broncos, 3 plays, 4 yards and a punt. The Steelers, 3 plays, 8 yards and a punt. The Titans, 3 plays, negative 2 yards. The Raiders, 3 plays, negative 2 yards. The Chiefs, 3 plays, 2 yards and a punt. I mean, if that's not failing to make adjustments, I don't know what is.
Oh, man, that's so scary. But, yeah, I mean, it's not only just been after halftime, but their inability to score before halftime. I mean, before and after the half, the Chargers have been absolutely terrible all season long, and it's been a big reason why they haven't been able to come back and win football games. But another thing I want to mention is in that first matchup against the Broncos, you had a Melvin Gordon that was just coming back, that was obviously very rusty. This is a much different runner that the Broncos are going to see, a runner that's definitely, you know, running a lot more like himself, a lot more physical, breaking more tackles, being actually showing some good vision. So I think, you know, the Broncos better not, you know, expect the same Melvin Gordon that they saw earlier in the year, because he's definitely a much better player right now.
He is a much better player, but we've seen this before with the Chargers so many times. I mean, it just seems like they're unable to run the ball against the Broncos, or really any good defense that struggles against the run specifically, because they know, hey, that's what we have to do. I mean, if you're the Broncos, what other game plan would you have besides make Phillip Rivers beat us? Right? I mean, 9 interceptions in 3 divisional games this year. You're going to have to throw the ball. And with John saying about you can't have it be predictable, I love that. Why don't we do an 8-yard curl route to Hunter Henry that works pretty much every time, and now it's 2nd and 2, and now you set yourself up where you can either take a deep shot or run the football. You have all of your options open. Don't just go up there on first down and try to run the ball behind the center and see how far you get. I think that Melvin Gordon is much better than he was the first time around, but that still doesn't solve all of the problems the Chargers have had as far as knowing you have to run the ball to beat a team and actually going out there and executing it. And if you're the Broncos, we're saying, hey, you have to sell out against the run against, you know, Brandon Allen and Drew Locke. I mean, what do you think they're going to do? 7 interceptions in Phillip Rivers' last 2 games. It's going to come down to whether Phillip Rivers can take care of the football and make this Denver Broncos defense pay at the end of the day. But the Chargers have to run the football in this game. But we do have one more segment to get into a couple of voicemails, just 2 voicemails today, and then getting into our predictions for the game on Sunday, coming up right after this. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of this Thanksgiving week, and another happy Thanksgiving to you guys and your families. But it's time to get into some voicemails. If you guys want to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line, make sure to call to 323. Make sure to call 323-524-7924. A couple of recurring callers this week. We have Lamlock calling out of Fort Drum, and we also have Nameless calling again, who we still don't know his name. But let's start with Lamlock wishing us a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, your boy Lamlock, Fort Drum. Just want to send you a happy early Thanksgiving to all y'all. Just keep it up. Keep it going. You guys are very entertaining. You know, freaking pissed off early in this week. Hopefully Chargers will make, you know, piss me off even more if they lose on Sunday, because, you know, things will get worse. Anyways, they got to score touchdowns. If they want to win this game, you got to score early on, because I don't understand why this team cannot score touchdowns. We guys got guys like Hunter Henry, Mike Williams, you know, Keenan Allen. Like, why we're struggling in the red zone? Like, can you guys, like, explain that? And once again, happy Thanksgiving to you guys, and go Bulls.
All right. Well, a special thanks to Lamlock. We love having you call in, Lamlock, of course, as always. And you will always get on the show anytime you decide to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail. And again, thank you for your service. And I'm going to say that every time you call in because you deserve it for what you do for this country. But getting to the points that you made, I mean, the Chargers red zone offense has been a struggle this year, John. And I'll let you answer this because I know you and Lamlock are tight. But what do you think the Chargers need to do to find more success in the red zone than what they've been doing already?
It's got to be plays that involve a lot of routes that get the defense going in different directions. So like stop and go type of routes, but they're side to side. If that makes sense. Like if you have a quick slant that stops and is all of a sudden going towards the sideline, you can get guys out of position and get a quick completion that way, instead of running a crossing route or a quick slant. They're so predictable routes. Cause what do we do all the time? Quick slant, crossing routes, the top routes we always do, or you're throwing a fade to Mike Williams. It's the three routes we'd run every time we're in the red zone, and everyone knows it's coming. All you have to do is just identify which person is probably running it, and you stand in that spot where Rivers would probably throw it, and now Rivers is trying to look for someone to throw to, and then he sacked or forcing it, it's interception. Try to get them out of position. Do a pick play. Do something that gets the defense out of position, not just straight routes. Even a hook route would do that, where it looks like you're going to do a quick slant and then you stop it, it's a hook. It's something that gets the defense running away from your receiver or running in the wrong direction. It's got to be a lot more of a schemable play. And I would also like to bring up that it does not hurt to do the most obvious play call. If it's first and goal at the inch yard line, quarterback sneak it. If it's within the 3 or 4 yard line, do not shotgun play. Run the I formation, be aggressive, and run it up the gut, and let the offensive line and Derek Watt get Melvin Gordon into the end zone. It's not rocket science.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And obviously, this is something that has been a thorn in the Chargers side all season. So I wanted to look up what the targets were for Chargers pass catchers in the red zone. And it's a little surprising to see Mike Williams only have 10 red zone targets, not even end zone targets. It's more surprising to see out of those 10 targets that he only has 2 catches. That is not a successful rate. I still think if you have Mike Williams on the outside one-on-one, that's as good a play as any, because he's not going to let the corner come down with an interception. That is in single coverage, but he's had some chances so far this year that he has not been able to come down with. I still think he should get more of a look, but also it involves Hunter Henry as well. Giving Hunter Henry those end zone and red zone targets is always going to lead to success. But the main thing for me for the Chargers is you have to stop the negative plays once you get in the red zone, because I mean, obviously the Chargers look really bad in the red zone, but it's easy to forget that a lot of these drives and a lot of these red zone trips are almost always getting hit with a penalty that absolutely derails a drive. Or you get to the 8 yard line, you run a running play on first and goal from the 8, and you lose 4 yards on it because everyone in the stadium sees it coming. It's plays like that that I think have really hindered the Chargers' success in the red zone. But when you're thinking about this last game against the Broncos and Austin Eckler fumbling it inside the 1 yard line, that's definitely not a way to find success in the red zone. And that was a huge swing in that game on fourth down right before half. So that doesn't help either. But let's get into the next voicemail with Nameless, who's calling in again to give a little bit more of a layered opinion on Phillip Rivers after calling, you know, telling everyone last week to, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Hello, this is Nameless again. I just want to call in regards to the discussion on Phillip Rivers and just go a little more in depth about him. He just is the most confusing guy I've ever seen as a quarterback, perplexing. He's up and down, and he wins the games he shouldn't win that you don't expect, and then they lose the ones they should win. For like a 1-15 Browns, he'll lose the game. It just blows my mind. I can't understand him sometimes. I think he's afraid of success at times. I there are things I love about Rivers, like his leadership and integrity and his character, and he puts the team in the best position. He can read a defense like anybody. You're not going to confuse the guy. I hope he just doesn't quit and give up for the season. I don't think he will. That's not in his character. But I would like to see Phillip every now and again look somebody off, look a receiver off, or do a pump fake. Do a pump fake every now and again. That might confuse the defense somewhat and lessen the interceptions. Don't stare a guy down and just throw it to him. And that's what the defense is. They look at a lot of film. They understand it. His arm strength isn't as great as it once was. But if he could pump somebody, do a pump fake or look a receiver off and go another direction and go back, I think he could really have more success. So I still am a Philip Rivers fan, and I want to see him get that Super Bowl badly. I really, really want to see him do it. And the Chargers organization owes it to him to give him what he needs to achieve this. So one more season, put all the chips in like your other guy always says. I love your guys' show. Go Chargers, and thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, nameless. That's the funny thing about Philip Rivers is he just is one of the most perplexing, confusing players to watch because he has, you know, moments where you're just wondering what the hell is he doing? And then it's surrounded by some brilliant plays and some great anticipatory throws and things of that nature that you just don't see out of young quarterbacks. And it's such a nuanced way of, you know, finding the hole in the defense. And that's why it's so frustrating with Philip Rivers. But I do agree with you that he's not looking off the safety a lot of time. He's staring down his receivers, but David, a lot of that unfortunately comes for a distrust of the offensive line. You don't really have time to look off a safety if the pass rush is getting in your face in half a second. So a lot of times you see that, and John talked about it too, you know, Philip Rivers knowing where the hot route is and just staring down a guy because he knows he has to get rid of it quickly. That's always going to hurt you, and that all starts with the offensive line and not being able to trust those guys, forcing decisions, staring down receivers. Obviously, those are some excuses, and Philip Rivers at the end of the day just has to be better, but it is a lot harder to stare off a safety and run a play that has multiple levels and you're waiting for the play to develop. All of that is so much tougher when you don't have an offensive line protecting for you. Hopefully this week with your two starting, I say with air quote, offensive tackles playing, that should help a lot.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely will help. I mean, hopefully to get Russell Okung back is going to be a big thing. I mean, like we mentioned before, just that trust factor to allow Philip to have a little more time to maybe be able to look off of safety or to be able to pump fake, as he mentioned in this call too. But yeah, like Daniel said, I mean, you need time to be able to do those things. I mean, and Philip Rivers hasn't had that time. So, I mean, yeah, should he obviously not stare down his receiver? Yes, there's no question about that. I mean, a lot of defensive backs, they read the quarterback's eyes, and that's why, you know, Philip Rivers has ran into some interceptions here lately. But yeah, like I said, that's why I was saying Philip Rivers needs to be a lot more efficient with his game plan this week.
Obviously, efficiency is the key, and carelessness cannot be afforded by Philip Rivers as well. But I agree with what you say, and I know David does say put all the chips in, go after it one more season. And we just have to let the season play out before I'm willing to commit to that. But I mean, that's always been what the plan is supposed to be the last few years, and they've kind of refused to do that to some extent. But let's go ahead and get into our predictions for this game, guys, and let's start with the bold predictions. We're running a little bit long, so let's keep it quick. Let's start with the defensive side of the ball. David, where are you going for your defensive bold prediction this week?
So my defensive bold prediction this week is going to be centered around the corner that doesn't get the respect around the league. That's Casey Hayward. I think Casey Hayward is going to pick off whoever's playing quarterback this week two times and force everybody around the league to put some respect on his name.
Yeah, I like that. Casey Hayward, obviously. I mean, people just aren't really targeting him very often, and it leads to not as many chances as maybe a lot of other good corners get. But I like that a lot from Casey Hayward. My defensive bold prediction this week is going to be centered around the entire Chargers defense. And I'm going to say that this Chargers defense holds this Broncos terrible lately offense to under 175 total yards of offense. I think they hold them to under 60 yards rushing as well, which would be huge key for the Chargers. I think that I said something similar for the Chiefs, and I mean, they did a pretty damn good job against the Chiefs. I'm going for the entire defense again this week, and I'm seeing a pretty big game by them. John, where are you going this week?
One word, Daniel. Shut out.
Oh, damn. A big goose egg? A Thanksgiving miracle?
Big goose egg. Shut out.
I love that. Shut out. I mean, that's as bold as it gets right there, allowing 0 points to the other team. Of course, Joe Flacco didn't scare me very much, so maybe I should back up a little bit as far as the Chargers' dominant defensive performance I see coming. But I think Joey Bosa could have a really big game. I think Melvin Ingram could have a big game. I think There's so many guys that I could see having really potentially good matchups this week that could really explode in this one. But let's go ahead and get to the offensive side of the ball. I'll start it off, and I'm going to go with Keenan Allen. Chris Harris publicly said on a phone interview with the Chargers media personnel, and that he said that, you know, he got the better of Keenan Allen in the first matchup where Keenan only went 4 for 18. Not a great game by his standards. And this time he's saying that he knows Keenan's going to bring it this week. I happen to agree with him. I think that Keenan Allen's going to have a big game against this Broncos defense. Even though their weakness is the running game, I think Keenan Allen's still going to get his and go 9 for 125 yards and a touchdown. I think Keenan Allen is hearing this and wants to really put out in this game and show what he has. David, where are you going offensively this week for your bowl prediction?
So my offensive bowl prediction is that Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon are going to combine for 275 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns.
275 rushing yards. Well, I would love to see that. I mean, Austin Eckler hasn't had a really good rushing game in a while. Maybe Justin Jackson can get in and help that out as well, even though I know you said those two running backs. But I think if they did it as a team, 275 rushing yards, that's pretty damn bold as well. John, where are you going offensively this week?
I'm going to go with what is also a big hope for me, and that is that Hunter Henry will finally become a big part of this offense and go for 10 catches, over 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
He's the eternal mismatch, right? I mean, Hunter Henry wasn't around when these two teams squared off in week 5. I think this could be a big week for Hunter Henry to come back with a purpose and really have a big game against this one. I mean, he's averaging almost 70 receiving yards in the season, which was second in the NFL going into their last game against the Chiefs. So no reason Hunter Henry shouldn't have a big game, but let's go with the game predictions. And I think a pretty positive game predictions segment that I don't think we've had one of those in a while with the Chargers last few games. I know I picked them to lose, I think their last 4 games in a row or 5 games in a row, but I think it'll be more positive this week. David, you're the positive one. Who do you think wins this game?
So I think the Chargers are getting healthy at the right time. It might be a little too late, but I think it's going to make a difference in this one. I think the Chargers are going to show everybody that they can win games, and I think they're going to win pretty convincingly in this one. To start off, Phil Simber, I think they're going to go 31-20 Chargers victory.
Yeah, 20 points for that Broncos offense. John, where are you going this week?
I think it's time to see that Chargers of December that we've seen the past few years. I think this will definitely be a win. I don't think it's going to be high scoring at all. I'm going to go Chargers 19, Broncos 0.
Yeah, well, I like you going with the goose egg there with the game prediction as well, John. I could see it happening. I'm not going to go quite that bold, but like I said, I picked the Chargers to lose a lot of times in a row, and unfortunately, more times than not, they've come through with my prediction over the past, 5 or 6 weeks. But this week, I'm going to switch it up. I think the Chargers are going to win this game. I think they are going to make a run for the, at least being in the hunt of a playoff race. And I think it starts with this one. I think they're going to prey on a pretty weak team. I don't think it'll be relatively close. I mean, never mind. I take that back. It's the Chargers. It's going to be close for some of it. But I think a realistic score for this game, I think the Chargers fail to really click offensively. I'm going to say the final score is Chargers 17, Broncos 10. I think that's about what I think the Broncos will score in this game. But that is wrapping up a ridiculously long show. Thank you guys for being so understanding and letting us have some time with our families on Thanksgiving, because we will not be recording on Thanksgiving. So you guys will hear, because this is going to be the last show of the week. So until next week, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing, rating, and reviewing wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to be like Lamlock and Nameless and get on the show, make sure to call 323-524-7924 for the Locked On Chargers voicemail. Every Chargers voicemail gets on the show. But happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Let's hope the Chargers can get a big dub this weekend and we can finally have a Victory Monday show for the first time in forever. But until then, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.